After a person truly repents and turns to Christ for salvation, he is never the same after that. Oh, he isn't perfect. He still has faults of one kind or another. But in the strength of Jesus Christ, he is doing something about his faults because he is a new creature in Christ. Stay with us as we consider a sinful woman who doubtless was changed. The closing verse of John chapter 7 tells us that every man went unto his own house, but Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Now Jesus had no home. Probably he spent the night in the Garden of Gethsemane at the foot of the mountain. This to him was a familiar place, for he resorted there quite often. And then coming to chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Early the next morning Christ came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Suddenly there was a shocking disturbance as a crowd of men interrupted our Lord's teaching and thrust a woman at his feet. These were scribes and Pharisees who had brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. With no regard for our Lord's teaching, they said unto him, 'Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?'" On the surface, the action of these men might suggest their own purity of heart and zeal for holiness. But the gospel writer reveals their true motive in verse 6. "This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him." If our Lord should acquit the woman, his enemies could accuse him of breaking the law of God. For the law declared in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 22 through 24, that she should be stoned to death. If, on the other hand, Christ should condemn the woman, then he could have been arrested on the ground of interfering with Roman law, for the Romans had taken from the Jews the right of capital punishment. This was a scheme on the part of the Jews to inveigle the Lord Jesus into saying the wrong thing. For if the woman was taken in adultery in the very act, where was the man? The same law that condemned the woman also states that they both shall die. How did our Lord react to this situation? Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. We are not told what our Lord wrote on the ground. Whatever it was, it did not satisfy the angry mob. For we read in verse 7, "They continued asking him." They were determined to have an answer. Thus our Lord lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." In his Sermon on the Mount, our Lord had said, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye'? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Knowing the hypocrisy of the woman's accusers, Christ made a practical application of these words. God is opposed to all sin. In his eyes, hypocrisy is equally as serious as adultery. Not only was the condemned woman guilty, but her accusers were guilty as well. Those standing before the Lord Jesus Christ thought they could excuse themselves by pointing their finger at the helpless woman. But our Lord, knowing their hardness of heart, said, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." Now, some Bible scholars think that sin used here has reference to the specific sin for which the men were condemning the woman. This was a very common evil. Jesus described the Jews of his day as an evil and adulterous generation. Further in his teachings, Christ made it clear that this sin was committed not only by the physical act, but by the thoughts as well. For he said in Matthew 5:28, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Since this is God's standard, who then is not guilty? Thus the result would have been the same if our Lord had said, "He that is without this same sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." Now we come to verse 8, following his surprising statement, our Lord stooped to write on the ground again. Being convicted by their own conscience, the accusers began to leave, one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. The conscience, the voice of the God-likeness in man, began to work. Soon Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Of course, the audience that had been listening to our Lord's teaching prior to the interruption remained, but every one of the woman's accusers left the scene. Then our Lord, looking at the woman, said in verse 10, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" In her shame she lifted her head and said in verse 11, "No man, Lord." She gave Christ all due honor because she recognized him as the one he truly was, calling him Lord. Aware of her own sinfulness, she too might have left the scene, as did her accusers, but she must have realized that Christ could help. Doubtless, she saw in Jesus Christ thoughtfulness and tenderness she had never known in anyone before. Now in verse 11 we read that Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." If the witness of her accusers was true, and it would seem that it was, then this woman deserved to be condemned. According to the law of Moses, she should have been stoned. But standing before her was one greater than Moses. Not only was he the giver of the law, but the provider of the grace that supersedes the law. What mercy, what love is revealed in these words, "Neither do I condemn thee." Now before our Lord said, "Neither do I condemn thee," the woman called him Lord. Not everyone who calls Christ Lord is converted. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21-23, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." There are many who call Christ Lord, but they are hypocrites. On the other hand, if one calls upon him earnestly, believing in him as Lord of all, it is certain that all condemnation as the result of sin will be removed forever. Our Lord was concerned that this woman's experience might be lasting. Thus he said, "Go and sin no more." There is no way of telling what this woman's life was like after she left the presence of our Lord. Yet things must have been different. She must have been a new creation from which old things had passed away and all things had become new. When we truly meet Christ, life does change. I hope you've met him. I hope you've trusted in him for your own personal salvation. If you haven't, now is God's time. Blessed Lord, we thank you for the power of the gospel. We thank you for the transforming power through the Holy Spirit. And we pray that some today may experience this power. In the name and for the sake of Jesus our Lord, amen.